In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning is taken from the 118th Psalm, beginning at the first verse. Hear now the word of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for Your goodness to us. That commitment of love, that covenant love, a love strong enough to put it in writing and commit it, and a commitment that is born out of love. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for Your goodness and for Your care for us, especially in Your Son, Jesus, and for our salvation. Lord, on this Thanksgiving, we come and we bow down low to the ground, thanking You for the many blessings that You have given us. And Lord, I pray that this year, as we're preparing to enter into the new church calendar, that every single person here, first of all, we thank You, Lord, for each and every one of them. And we pray, Lord, that this year that You will bless each one of us in our walk with You, that we will fall more in love with You, that we will walk and serve You more closely in all that we do. We pray, Lord, for a bountiful harvest of spiritual fruit in our service, in our witness, and in our growth in You, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would use all these blessings that You have given us for Your glory and for Your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want us to look at the notion of Thanksgiving, but we're going to do it a little bit different way. There's a surprise. I want us to look at the notion of Thanksgiving when giving thanks is the last thing in the world that you feel like doing. Maybe you come this morning and you're facing real hardships and real concerns that are just overwhelming you. Maybe there are situations in your life, your family, or at work that weigh so heavily on your heart that it makes thankfulness really hard to muster. Or maybe this year you don't feel all that Thanksgiving-y. And I just made that word up. But anyway, so maybe you just don't feel all Thanksgiving-y. You know, maybe it's not some giant crisis. Maybe it's not the drama of a head blow. It's just the body blows. And it's just worn you down, and you don't feel all Thanksgiving-y. Well, if that's the case, then this sermon is for you. If it's not, if you're coming this morning and everything's great and your life is perfect, I'm only preaching one sermon, so this sermon's for you as well. But anyway, this morning I want us to look at Thanksgiving, when giving thanks is the last thing you feel like doing. And to do so, I want us to begin by noticing the basis of Thanksgiving. And here we'll ask, why does Scripture call us to give thanks? Next, we will want to ask what biblical thanksgiving looks like when life really stinks. I mean, are we just lying? Is it, you know, just going through the motions? Or is there more to it? What does it look like when Scripture calls us to give thanks even when life is hard? And then finally, we will turn to look at the real blessings that God intends giving thanks to provide to you amid the very real situations and hardships that you're facing. So let's begin. And notice we begin with our first question, why in the world should I give thanks, especially when life is hard? In other words, here we're asking, this isn't just a curmudgeon's Thanksgiving sermon. All right, here we're really asking a serious question. We're asking, what is the true basis in Scripture for our giving thanks? And so it's important that we notice what the basis is not. First of all, biblical thanksgiving is not based on feeling happy, nor does it ignore the situations that you face. It's not based on your feelings, nor is it simply a blind optimism. Scripture does not tell you that everything you encounter will be good or that you will never face real hardships in life. In fact, Scripture tells you right the opposite. In this world you have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Right? So we know that not everything's going to go our way. Scripture doesn't tell us that. However, what Scripture does say is Scripture does call you to give thanks amid all things, good or bad, happy or sad, to give thanks amid all things. Listen to Ephesians 5:20. Always, not just when it's good, not just when you feel happy, but always giving thanks with regards to all things. Now notice, Scripture doesn't say that we're to be happy about everything or that everything that we face is something that we should be glad about. That's not. But rather what Scripture is saying is that always, in every situation, there is something that we all, within that situation, need to stop and thank God, to give our thanks to God the Father through, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, the basis of biblical thanksgiving, why you are giving thanks, is not based on feelings or circumstance. Instead, biblical thanksgiving is based on God. Okay? Situations change, feelings change, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our thanksgiving is based on God. That is, thanksgiving is grounded on the unvarying fact that wherever you are, in the midst of whatever you're walking through, this never changes. That God is always with you. That God is always for you. And that God is Lord over every circumstance that you face. So, you know, when Scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, in a very true sense, and likewise, and we're going to see some of this as we go, Scripture also lets you know that every situation, that every circumstance that you will go through, that you are going through, or have been through, bows to the Lordship of Christ. Your situations do not threaten, they do not undermine, nor do they redirect God's plan or purpose for your life. God is Lord over everything that you face. It's in His hands. Or you could put it like this: nothing touches you that does not first pass through your heavenly Father's hands. Nothing. All right? Listen. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength. Notice, it's not God and fill in the blank. It's not God in finances, or God as long as things are going great, or God when we have a house that's as nice as the neighbors and our family's not crazy, but well-adjusted like the neighbors. It's not that. It is God singularly is our refuge and strength. He is our confidence and our hope. Now listen to how Psalm 46:1 in one phrase describes the very basis and theology that lies behind biblical thanksgiving. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is always for you. He is present. But He's not just sitting there observing and knowing what you're going through. He is an active part in your life. He is a very present help in trouble. He is with you. He is for you. And not only that, notice He's the very help in the midst of trouble. That situations do not alter God's lordship. God is Lord over everything you face. In fact, this psalm goes on to say, and even though the mountains should fall into the heart of the sea and all the earth change, we will not fear because God is with us. Okay? This is important because at once biblical thanksgiving takes your eyes off of you, off of how you feel, and off of the world. All of those things change. And true thanksgiving places your eyes and your focus on God, the true source of your security, and the true determinant of the outcome of any situation you face. So that's the basis. Eyes on God. Thank you, Lord, that you are with me. Thank you, God, that you're for me. And thank you, God, that you are Lord over everything that I face right now. I'm scared to death, but you are in control. All right, so that said, what does biblical thanksgiving look like when life really stinks? I mean, again, are we just going through the motions? What does it look like? Well, first notice that Scripture never calls us to lie. In fact, it tells us right the opposite. Nor does Scripture ever call us to pretend like that things aren't that bad, or to ignore the bad things going on and act like that they don't matter. Over and again, Scripture teaches us the opposite, both in its instructions and commands, as well as in its examples. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayers and petition, let your requests be known to God. The Lord is what? Near. He's with you in this. Right? So we're called, commanded, told, instructed to bring our troubles to the Lord. And we also see that demonstrated. Jesus, in the, you know, the very Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane doesn't pretend like the cross isn't a big deal. Instead, we find him doing what? Father, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but not what I will, but what you will. He calls out to God. Listen to Psalm 31, 1. How long, O Lord, will thou forget me forever? And notice that this is the first verse of the psalm. We don't have some long, sugar-coated, you know, Bible studies down and, oh, you know, all this stuff. None of that. The psalmist gets right into it. And he's in the midst of a situation. There's no lying about it. There's no sugarcoating about it. He doesn't understand what he's going through, and he certainly doesn't like it. And he's crying out to God, how long? Listen. How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? Sometimes that's what our Thanksgiving looks like. And you're going, how could that possibly be? Because notice the theology quietly behind this. That the first thing that the psalmist does when he's in a mess is he turns to God. Why? Because he knows God cares about him and always hears his prayers. He knows that God's commitment is unending. And even though he can't see God's hand at work, and even though it seems like God has forgotten him, he's lost track of the hand of God in his life, he knows that that's not the case. And so the first place he goes is to God, asking, God, please, let this, have mercy, you know, carry me through this. Okay? And he knows that that God is Lord over everything he faces. So the instinct of the psalmist to turn to God is based on the very truth that thanksgiving is given to remind us of. As we thank God, we're simultaneously preaching the gospel to ourselves. So Scripture never calls us to lie. Instead, biblical thanksgiving, whether life is good or bad, always points us to what is most true about the situation that you face. If things are going great for you, okay, then you are reminded that these blessings are from God. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:14. We saw this in our study of tithing last week. For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. And so right away we're reminded that all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do is from God. And so with our thanksgiving, when life is going great, we are all of a sudden reminded of our first obligation, of our commitment, of the source, that everything we have is from God, and then everything we have, therefore, is to be for God and to serve God with our first and best. So we sit here so thankful for our church and for our congregation, for God's concrete goodness to us over the years and the blessings that he's poured out. That's great. But remembering that it's from God also reminds us that God has blessed us that we might, as faithful stewards, use those blessings to be a blessing to those around us, both individually and as a congregation as a whole. We're supposed to do something with every single blessing that God's given us, to always, in everything, seek his kingdom and his glory. And that's at home, that's at school, that's at work, that's wherever it might be, to serve God. And so Thanksgiving grounds us and reminds us of what's most true about our situation. But even when life is bad and it really stinks, Thanksgiving reminds us that these hard times are also in God's hands. Listen to Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I've intended, exactly as I have intended, so it will be. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. Our situations do not undermine God's lordship, but rather they all bow to God's lordship. God is with you, God is for you, and God is Lord over all that we face. Thanksgiving's grounding us. Sometimes that is thanking God and articulating that. That should be the first thing that we do in the midst of any circumstance, is reminding ourselves and thanking God for those big three. And other times our thanksgiving is based on those big three and it looks like a cry for help, like Psalm 31. That's what it looks like. But it always begins with us at the throne of God. That's what it is. Okay. Next, notice, biblical thanksgiving identifies God's sustaining blessings. Now, there are three things that I wanted you to take home from this sermon. Okay. The first thing is that biblical thanksgiving, the first thing it's doing is grounding you
facing you towards God in the midst of whatever you're going through. God is with me, God is for me, and all this is in God's hands. That's the first thing. This is the second thing I wanted you to take home, because this is something we often overlook, the sustaining blessings. Now, what am I talking about? That is, because biblical thanksgiving reminds you and assures you that God is with you, therefore, biblical thanksgiving draws your attention to the way that God is upholding and protecting you, especially in other areas of your life, so that you can attend to the dilemma. All right, so think about it. Life has been really hard. You've just been going through it. It's weighing down on you. Then all of a sudden, you get a phone call from an old friend. You haven't heard from him in a while. And for 30 minutes, the clouds in your sky break and there's sun. And for a moment, you're allowed to take the burdens off and to laugh and to remember the good old days. And it's just a breath of fresh air. Well, because you've been given thanks and you are reminded that God is at work in the midst of your life, you realize that that's a blessing that God has given you. Did it fix your problems? No, it didn't. But it was one of those sustaining blessings. Here's another one. And I couldn't help of thinking, you know, of Don and Blythe and all that they've been through, or my in-laws, Bert and Diane, and all that they've been through. And it just can wear on you. But in the midst of all that, isn't it amazing that so often that God has put family members around so that you can take a moment and go home from the hospital and just step back from it and catch your breath? Or that while all of this is going on, God has provided you the space. That crisis at work that was so heavy on your mind, that somehow it's on cruise control. Somehow it's kind of settled down. It's not over, but it's settled down. And God is sustaining you, allowing you to devote your attention to where it needs to be. Now, those sustaining blessings we often overlook because they're not the fix that we're asking for. They don't fix the problem. But they're really, really important because these sustaining blessings, God's sustaining blessings, are indicators that you are not in a free fall. God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't removed his love from you. Instead, God has the situation in his hands and is upholding you every step of the way. Listen to Deuteronomy 29:5. This is very principle. Listen to what God says. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. The wilderness, by the way, was no fun. Okay, and not only that, Israel was there. God's people were there because they were acting like a bunch of knuckleheads. So this is a no fun thing that they brought on themselves. That's not always the case, but just showing you that this is a bad situation. And they didn't like it. They weren't happy about it. And it was hard. But even then, God did not leave them. God says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Now here's what I want you to hear. Your clothes have not worn out. And your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Okay, did that fix the problem? No. Did it get them through the wilderness any quicker? No. Did it make the wilderness any more fun? No. But it was those concrete indicators, those sustaining blessings, that God was with them in the midst of this whole situation and that he hadn't abandoned them. And when we give thanks and when our eyes, we go into every situation with our eyes on Jesus, then all of a sudden we're more alert to noticing those sustaining blessings and signposts that God gives us that he hasn't abandoned us. All right? So that's a big thing. Bottom line, biblical thanks turns you to God in the midst of any situation and thanks God for his unwavering presence, presence, commitment, and lordship over all we face. And finally, we're almost done. Notice the gospel of thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is notice the blessings that God intends biblical thanksgiving to provide to you amid your hardship. God intends this to be one of the key navigational tools, that resources that he has given you in your life to navigate whatever you're facing, good or bad. Okay. Notice then the blessings. First, giving biblical thanks fundamentally reorients you to the situation that you face. What am I talking about? Well, thanksgiving reminds you that God is at work in the very details of your life and that his will and his purpose are what are determining the outcome. As such, giving thanks correctly identifies the governing reality, what is most true about any circumstance that you encounter. Listen to this. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations.
He frustrates the plans of the people. God doesn't say that people won't come up with some stupid ideas. He doesn't say that mankind won't make a mess of everything. But what God does say is this: but the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Thanksgiving sends you into a situation reminding you of what is most true about you and about that situation. That's not all. Biblical thanks fundamentally orients your response to any situation you face. In other words, because God is with me, biblical thanksgiving reminds me that my response to any situation that I face is always to be trust and faithfulness. In other words, here's a great thing. In other words, when you are going through your real life situation and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to fix it, you're at that crossroads, you're not even sure what the thing you're supposed to do is, then whenever you're in that situation, when you don't know what to do, then make sure that the next thing that you do is the right sort of thing. The sort of thing that God calls you to do. Okay? Because, and this is so important, because now all of a sudden the problem may still be there, but it's not compounded by your misconduct. So you know what? The problem at work is still there, but you don't have a DUI to go along with it. Right? The financial strain at home is still there, but now you're not up on charges for embezzlement. Okay? Make sure, see, that Thanksgiving, it reminds us, because God is at work, I am to trust and follow him. Not only that, these faithfulness and trust are always the way out and through any circumstances that you're facing. The way through and out is always following Jesus. And even when you don't see the end of the road, even when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, by following Jesus, you are already on the path leading you out and through. Okay, simply put, trust and faithfulness are responding to life's realities in light of what God says about the situation, not about what the world says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, the way out and through. Third, and remember I told you there are three things, the three things I want you to take home. God's always with you, and then look for sustaining blessings. And now here's the third one, because it's so important, and we often don't think about it. And we end here. We're almost done. Biblical thanksgiving is vigilant. That is, biblical thanks reminds you to speak right about the situation you're in. Okay? We are not to lie about it and pretend like it's not a big deal. That's a sign of fear. Knowing that God is with you gives you the courage to face the reality that you're facing. At the same time, we are not to be the mouthpiece of the world's despair. Okay? We are to proclaim the truth and tell the truth. Yeah, this stinks really bad, but God's with us, and we need to stick close to his throne. Okay? And so giving thanks keeps us vigilant to make sure that we are telling the truth about the situation, that we're speaking about it correctly. And that is to yourself, you know, when you're driving around in the car, or when you think nobody's listening, or on that walk that you take every afternoon around the neighborhood. Are you a mouthpiece of despair or a proclaimer of the truth? How are you talking about it? Whose propaganda are you mouthing? Okay? It's the way you speak to it about yourself. It's the way you speak about it to others. And here's the point. It's even how you speak about it in prayer. Are you telling the truth in prayer? The psalmist did. This really stinks. How long is this going to last? There's no lying there. But the psalmist did it because he knows God's trust, God's care, and God's lordship don't falter. When you pray, are you saying, God, you have abandoned me? God, you're not with me? Or, Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and seek the escapes of the world, because whatever the lie is, it keeps us vigilant that we are telling the truth about the situation. Remember, Scripture commands us that we are to speak faithfully about God amid whatever we face. We're not sugarcoating the dilemma, nor are we falsifying it with the world's despair. Listen to Job 42:7. The Lord said to Eliphaz, that doesn't seem right, the Temanite, anyway, some dude with an old-timey name. Anyway, and remember, This guy and two of his friends, they were coming to counsel Job. And this is what makes the book of Job so hard to quote from, because these guys had all of the right answers. Man, they would be able to pass any Bible study exam, any seminary class, or go through the ordination process. They had all of the orthodox theological answers. The problem is they just didn't know what questions they went with. Right? And so listen to what God's saying to them. And the Lord said, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two knucklehead friends." God didn't actually say knucklehead, but he probably, anyway, your two friends. Okay, notice that God is not saying, "I'm a little disappointed in you. Oh, let's try better next time. Don't worry, you still have the biblical participation trophy. Off you go." God didn't say any of those things. Instead, he says, "My anger is blazing against you." Why? We don't have to guess. God tells us point blank, "Because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." That through all the trial, and we hear Job crying out, we hear Job struggling, he doesn't understand why, he's complaining, he's calling out to God, but through it all, Job always speaks what is right about God and right about the situation. Biblical thanks makes us more prone, more keenly vigilant to do the same thing. Are you telling the truth about it? Or are you being a mouthpiece of despair to yourself, to others, even in prayer? Bottom line, true thanksgiving is not based on feelings or circumstances. Rather, biblical thanksgiving is based on God. It sends us into every situation articulating, thanking God, and proclaiming to ourselves that God is with me, God is for me, and God is Lord over all that I face. In turn, giving thanks fundamentally reorients you to the very situations you face, grounding you on what is most true about that circumstance. And finally, biblical thanksgiving directs your response to those situations as well as the way that you speak about whatever you're facing. It prompts you to live and speak in light of the truths of thanksgiving, not the world's despair. Happy Thanksgiving, all saints. May God bless you for the remainder of this upcoming new year. Amen. Amen.